The beloved Prophet's life in Makkah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Prophet's life in Makkah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Prophet's life in Makkah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, in the last episode, we heard about the blessed birth of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the incidents which occurred at that time. And in today's episode, we are going to discuss the nursing, the suckling of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why the Arabs had their babies nursed, Sayyidatuna Halima radiallahu anha bringing him up alayhi salam, and the opening of his blessed heart and its wisdom. Before this, let's listen to an excellence of reciting Salat upon the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said, O people, indeed on the Day of Judgment, the one who will quickly attain salvation from its terrors and accountability will be the person who will have recited the most Salat upon me in the world. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First of all, the slave girl of Abu Lahab, Thuwayba radiallahu anha, nursed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he was continually fed by his mother, Sayyidah Amina radiallahu anha. Then Sayyidah Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu anha took him along with her and she kept him in her care and constantly nursed him. And with her, specifically, the time period of his nursing passed. Now, the basic reason for nursing is that it was the custom of the Arabs that they would send their children to a village wet nurse for nursing, so that the children would remain safe from the city diseases and their bodies would strengthen in the cradle. They would find a pure and clean environment in the desert area and would become habitual of the hardships of the desert life from their childhood. Since the language of the Arab Bedouins used to be clear, eloquent and pure, so as a child would grow up, he would also maintain this ability to speak eloquently. Now, as usual, the village witnesses came to Makkah al-Mukarramah. They took the babies from wealthy families in their laps. And nobody took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A witness named Sayyidah Halima radiallahu anha, she couldn't find the baby. So she took Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this thought that in this way, she would develop relations with the noble family like the Quraysh. Now, what was the incident behind this? How did it occur? Let's listen to this. Sayyidah Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu anha, she states, along with the women of Banu Sa'd, I headed towards Makkah al-Mukarramah in search of an infant. In that year, there was a severe famine in Arabia. I had a child in my lap, but because of starvation, I did not have enough milk to feed him. Now, throughout the night, the child would keep writhing, crying out of hunger. And in order to please and comfort him, we would spend the entire night sitting. We had a she-camel too, but it did not have milk either. On the journey towards Makkah, the mule on which I was riding was also so weak that it could not keep up with the group, so much so that my companions, they were fed up. I covered the journey with a lot of difficulty. And when the group reached Makkah al-Mukarramah, the women would look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and hear that he was an orphan. They wouldn't agree to adopt him, because due to the baby being an orphan, there was no hope of getting abundant honors and prizes and gifts. On the other hand, the fortune of Sayyidah Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu anha was ascending. Now, her lack of milk became a cause of mercy for her, because learning about her lack of milk, nobody agreed to give their child to her. Now, Sayyidah Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu anha said to her husband, Haris ibn Abdul Uzza, it does not seem good to return empty-handed. It is better to take along with us this orphan. The husband agreed, and Sayyidah Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu anha brought that unique pearl through whom not only the house of Sayyidah Halima and Sayyidah Amina would shine, rather the east and the west of the universe were also to be illuminated. This was the benevolence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sleeping fate of Sayyidah Halima Sa'di radiallahu anha arose and the Holy Prophet alayhi salam came into her care. When she brought him to a tent to feed him, the blessings of prophethood began to appear like the rain of mercy. Now just look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the blessed chest of Sayyidah Halima Sa'di radiallahu anha released so much milk that the Holy Prophet alayhi salam, as well as his foster brother, drank the milk till they were full. And both of them slept comfortably that night. On the other hand, when she looked at the she-camel, its udders had become full of milk. Sayyidah Halima Sa'di radiallahu anha's husband milked it, and both she and her husband drank the milk till they were full. And they satiated their hunger. Both of them slept comfortably throughout the entire night. Observing these blessings of the Holy Prophet alayhi salam, the husband of Sayyidah Halima Sa'di radiallahu anha became astonished and he said, Halima, you have brought quite a blessed child. Sayyidah Halima Sa'di radiallahu anha said, really? Yes, I also hope that he is a greatly blessed child and we have gained him through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I expect that our house will become full of goodness and blessings now. So the Halima Sa'di radiallahu anha states, after that, when we took the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lap and departed from Makkah towards our village, the same mule of mine began to travel so fast that nobody's mount would keep up with it. The women of the group, they became surprised and said to me, "Oh Halima, is this the same mule on which you had come here? Or have you bought another mule which travels fast?" Meaning they were surprised, how has this mule become so fast and strong? Eventually they reached their house. As soon as I stepped in the house, my goat's udders became full of milk. Then daily when my goats would come back to the house from the meadow, their udders would be full of milk. Even though throughout the village, nobody would even get a single drop of milk from the animals. The people of my tribe said to their shepherds, "You should also graze your animals in the same place where Halima's animals graze." Hence, everyone began to graze their cattle where my goats would graze. But the meadow and the forest had nothing to do with this situation. It was the blessing of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which nobody in my nation could understand, except me and my husband. Similarly, at every step, we continuously observed his blessings until 2 years were completed and I ceased feeding him. The health and growth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so amazing that in 2 years, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to look very healthy, big. Sayyidatuna Halima radiallahu anha states, the growth of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam was different from other children. In one day, he alayhi wa sallam would grow as much as an ordinary child would grow in a month. And in 1 month, he alayhi wa sallam would grow as much as a normal child would grow in a year. When the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became 2 years old, and according to the tradition, we brought the Holy Prophet alayhi wa sallam back to his mother, Sayyidah Amina radiallahu anha. And she blessed us with presents, gifts. She honored us according to her capacity. Now, according to the rule, we did not have any right to keep the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with us. But because of the blessings that he brought, we did not want to be parted from him even for a moment. Now, a coincidence occurred that in that year, an epidemic broke out in Makkah. Hence, giving this excuse of the epidemic, we convinced Sayyidah Amina radiallahu anha, and we brought back the Holy Prophet alayhi salam to our house. And then our house became a mine of mercies and blessings. And he began to live with us very happily, cheerfully. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grew to some extent, he would go out of the house and see other boys playing, but he himself would always remain away from every sort of play and amusement. Once he said to me, "Dear mother, I don't see other siblings of mine throughout the day. Where do they go after waking up in the morning daily?" I said, "They go to graze the goats." Hearing this, he said, "Mother, please send me too with my siblings." Hence, feeling compelled because he was insisting, Sayyidah Halima Sa'di radiallahu anha allowed Rasulullah alayhi salam to go to the meadows with her children, and he would constantly go to that place daily where the goats of Sayyidah Halima radiallahu anha would graze. Now, dear viewers of Madin Channel, taking goats to the meadows and looking after them, it's the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam showed this trait of prophethood right from the beginning, since his childhood. It's mentioned in the hadith of Sahih Bukhari that the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever has been a prophet has grazed goats. The companions radiallahu anhum, they said, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have you also done this?" He said, "Yes, I used to graze the goats of the people of Makkah for a wage. Now, grazing the goats is an age-old sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Why did they adopt this sunnah? Abundant wisdoms have been stated. Hence, Hafiz Ibn Hajar rahmatullahi alayhi writes, the knowledgeable people have said, the wisdom of creating fondness for grazing goats in the hearts of the prophets before prophethood is that by grazing goats, they would practice to carry out the duty of correcting their ummahs, because this is such an activity which will develop the emotions of forbearance and affection in their heart. In grazing goats, one has to observe lots of patience. For example, grazing them, gathering them after they disperse here and there in the meadows, taking them from one meadow to another, safeguarding them from wild beasts and thieves, to understand their different natures, again them running here and there, to take great care of them because of their natural weakness. All these are such tasks because of which it becomes easy for the Prophet ﷺ to display patience while training and guiding their ummah. Now, the Prophet ﷺ mentioning the grazing of goats through his own blessed tongue is a recognition of the fact that he was a very humble and grateful personality. Allah Almighty made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most respectable and most honorable amongst all humans. Even then, his personality, he showed great humility, whether it was childhood, his youth, or adulthood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was showing signs of prophethood constantly. Those signs were appearing. Hence, Sayyida Halima Sa'diya radiallahu anha, she would not allow the Prophet ﷺ to go to a distant place. One day, she couldn't remain attentive, and he ﷺ, along with his foster sister Shayma, went to the herd of the sheep in the afternoon. Sayyidatuna Halima went out to search for the Prophet ﷺ, and she found him with Shayma. She said, "You are out in such hot weather." Shayma said, "Dear mother, my brother Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not feel hot. A cloud used to overshadow him. When he alayhi salam would stop, the cloud would also stop. And when he alayhi salam would walk, the cloud would also move. The same situation lasted till we reached this place where you can see us now." Sayyidatuna Halima radiallahu anha says, the cradle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam would move by the rocking of the angels. And he alayhi salam would point to the moon via his finger in his childhood. So the moon would move upon the signals of his blessed finger. When he alayhi salam started to speak, the first thing he uttered through his blessed tongue was as follows: "Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. All praise is due to Allah, the owner of all the worlds. And glory be to Allah in the morning and the evening." When he began to walk, he would go out and see children playing, but he himself would not participate in playing. When the boys would call him to play, he would say, "I have not been born to play." Dear viewers of Madani Channel, this point is worth noting, that the personality who was destined to be made the leader of creation, so that he can show the path of guidance to the people, he was blessed with manners and etiquette since childhood, so that gradually he'd become someone following good manners and amazing attributes. And for a leader, it is necessary to have superb, amazing attributes. All the world saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a helper of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his life became a perfect example for the entire world. One day, whilst returning to his mother, the Prophet ﷺ was in the meadows. And all of a sudden, one of the sons of Sayyidah Halima Sa'diyah radiallahu anha, Damra, who was the foster brother of the Prophet ﷺ, rushed to his house. He was out of breath, and he said to his mother, Sayyidah Halima radiallahu anha, "Mother, a terrible incident has occurred. Three men who were dressed in extremely white garments laid Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his back, and they have opened his chest, and I've left him there in this condition and rushed here to you." Hearing this, Sayyidah Halima radiallahu anha and her husband both were taken aback, and being very concerned, they rushed towards the jungle. They saw that the Prophet alayhi salam was sitting, but his face was pale and he was upset. Sayyidah Halima's husband embraced him affectionately and asked, "Son, what is the matter?" He alayhi salam said, "Three people whose dresses were extremely white and clean came to me, opened my chest and took out something and threw it away. And then they put something in my chest and stitched it back together. But I did not feel any pain." Hearing this incident, Sayyidah Halima radiallahu anha and her husband both became very nervous. And the husband said, "Oh Halima, I fear that he is probably possessed by the influences of evil spirits. So you should quickly return him to his family. After that, Sayyidah Halima radiallahu anha took him back to Makkah al-Mukarramah because she was scared by that incident, so much that they would not be able to safeguard him. She felt she won't be able to safeguard him in future. When Sayyidah Halima radiallahu anha reached Makkah and returned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to his mother, Sayyidah Amina radiallahu anha, she asked, "Oh Halima, you had taken my child with you. What is the reason for bringing him back so early?" And Sayyidah Halima radiallahu anha related the incident of the opening of the chest and expressed her doubt regarding the evil influence. Sayyidah Amina radiallahu anha said, "Not at all. I swear by the Lord Allah, no jinn or Satan can cast any evil influence on my noble son at all. My son has great splendor." Then she related the surprising incidents of the days of her conception and the time of the birth, and she convinced Sayyidah Halima radiallahu anha, and Sayyidah Halima radiallahu anha returned him to his mother and came back to her village, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to be brought up, nurtured under the watchful eye of his noble mother. Now, the scholars of Islam have stated in numerous wisdoms behind the opening of the noble chest. His chest was opened four times. The first was what has just been described in youth. The wisdom behind it was the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would remain safeguarded from satanic whispers, which normally children are afflicted by. He would grow up with good manners right since his childhood. The second time his chest was open. This was at the age of 10 years, so that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would grow up with perfect attributes. But the third time it happened in the cave of Hira at the time of receiving revelation, so that he alayhi sallam could bear the burden of revelation. For the fourth time it happened on the night of Mi'raj, so that he alayhi sallam would become ready and prepared to meet and converse with the Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But dear viewers of Madin Channel, did you observe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguarded the Holy Prophet alayhi sallam through the angels right since his birth, his childhood, and assigned the responsibility of bringing him up with glorious attributes to the spiritual creation, i.e. the angels? Then why wouldn't that messenger be the greatest whom Allah Almighty himself safeguarded and nurtured? Inshallah, in the next episode of this program, the guardianship and the fostering of the Holy Prophet alayhi salam will be discussed, meaning whose guardianship did he remain under and what incidents occurred during his orphanage. Until then, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The beloved prophet's life in Makkah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved prophet's life in Makkah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved prophet's life in Makkah.